Leo Rotens is our Raptors TV analyst on Sportsnet. Leo Rotens joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. Lots to talk about, Leo, so I want to get to it right away and welcome you and say that really enjoyed your work this year. You guys did a tremendous job, and it was a lot of fun, and the ride was great, and you guys helped make the ride a lot more fun. So kudos on that.
Well, kind words, Jeff. I really appreciate that. I would tell you, we had a blast. You know as well as anybody else, we've seen a lot of good and bad basketball over the years. So to have a year like this, mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. It was a lot of fun.
Let's deal with DeMar first. In your mind, is there any reason that DeMar DeRozan shouldn't be a Raptor going forward?
No, absolutely not. And I was listening to you, and you know it gets confusing when you talk max player, max money. You know, there's such a gray area. You know, if you look around the league and some of the guys that have gotten money, and you know, one guy that just jumps out, Reggie Jackson of Detroit. Mm-hmm. You know, he got $80 million, and you know, he's a good player. I wouldn't consider him, you know, one of these, you know, showstoppers or your franchise guy. But here's the reality: you got to have those guys, and you're going to have to pay to get them. And if you really look around and say, okay, if you don't have DeMar DeRozan, and take a look at who's out there and who's available, that who you can realistically get, who are you going to get? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's not just the playoffs; it's not just winning a championship. But you have to get look at the regular season. You had 56 wins. Here's a guy that's durable. I mean, he's had very few injuries. He's available every night. He comes to play. He gets better every year. To me, in today's world, that's a max guy that you have to keep. And he loves Toronto. He loves the team. He wants to be part of the future here. He wanted to be part of the build going in. Those are the guys you win with and you get other guys with. So, to me, it's a no-brainer.
And, Leo, one of the things about DeMar, too, that I always kind of laugh. I mean, I think subconsciously people look at DeMar and think that the guy's 30, 31 years old because he's been part of the furniture forever. This is a young guy still. That's the other thing. There's no reason his game can't get better. There's no reason he can't just be, you know, have one foot in the prime of his career right now.
Oh, I absolutely agree, especially when you think about where does he have to get better. Just experience alone. Thinking the game, understanding situations, that's going to get better. No question about that. You can always be a better three-point shooter, and he works on that. But I still like the fact that he's got a great mid-range game, and the three-pointer is a weapon, not your mainstay. But, again, he can get better. And then defensively, he can get better. And a lot of that goes back to the first point of experience. When you understand the game becomes easier at both ends of the floor. And, you know, again, he is a young guy with, I believe, a still an upside. And, you know, when you look at all these players that sign with teams for big money and then look at the number of games they miss, the fact that he's a young guy that's been so durable throughout his career, that in itself is worth a lot of money to me, especially when you've got the grind of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing you want when you're paying a guy a lot of money is to have him on the bench and try to fill in his spot with somebody else who isn't making that much money. I mean, that
happens a lot.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot. You look around the league and you look at how many guys that, you know, teams have reached out, they've overspent to get them, and then they're not even playing. So I think that has to factor into the equation when you look at a player like DeMar.
Now, it seems as if it's unlikely that Bismack Biyombo will come back, and he wants to come back again. They want him back. A lot of people who certainly know more about the numbers than I do tend to think that that's going to be difficult, you know, unless some moves are made. How important is Bismack to this team going forward? In other words, beyond how popular he is and how, you know, yeah, he changed a couple of games defensively and, you know, there were times in the playoffs where he seemed to, for spells of 3 or 4 minutes, take the team in his shoulders. Leo, beyond that, how important is he to the Raptors, and can they replace what he brings?
Well, it really depends what you replace him with. I wouldn't say anything is a dead deal at this point. Mm-hmm. Masai is very creative. I think that, you know, there's something to be said for the San Antonio model where players like DeMar, like Bismack, if they really love a place, if they really want to continue to be in a place, that they try to be creative with the money too and maybe give up a little bit to be playing on a great team. And you never know if that's in play. But you know, I just think that it really just depends on, you know, if he's not here, if he wants to be a starting center somewhere else, what do you have in his place?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, that's where you really got to trust the GM. And I think Masai and his management people and the scouts, they do a really, really good job. They have a pretty good grasp of what's available to them and what they realistically can get. And they're not just thinking just next year, just to fill his shoes. They're thinking beyond that. And that's why I think that, you know, the decisions he makes are so good. You know, he knew the risk would be Ambo coming into this season. That, you know, if he had a good year, if things worked out, that there's a good chance you may not be able to get him back. So you can, yes, in a short answer, you can replace him. As valuable and as good as he was for the Raptors, yes, you can.
One of I thought, really interesting comments by Masai, and it was kind of in the context of DeMar, a discussion about DeMar and Jonas and sort of the core of the team. Something I've kind of wondered about, but I don't know if it was really, I don't know if the playoffs are really the time to talk about it, but I think we can all agree that Jonas Valanciunas took more steps forward this year. On several levels. I mean, his absence, you can always tell when a guy's not in the lineup and his absence is noted, that's generally an indication of how large the strides have been that he's made. And I think we saw that with Jonas. But there was this interesting question about how you, and now that you've been impressed by Jonas, now that you've committed to him financially and contractually going forward, how do you kind of marry that commitment with the realities of the current day NBA and how the game is played? And I guess, you know, what Masai was talking about is we have Jonas, the game is changing. It's become a little more perimeter oriented, or it has been in the past couple of years. If we're committed to Jonas, we have to figure out what else we need in order to make sure that we can adhere to the way the game is played now. And it seemed to me to be kind of an interesting issue for Masai, because it was kind of a realization that, yeah, we have this guy, he's a great player, we're glad we have him, but we may have to change how we go about doing things because of the way other teams are playing us.
Oh, you know, it's a valid point. But here's the nice thing about Valanciunas, is that he's got a great touch. They've talked about him stretching out, you know, his range a little bit, and I think that's doable. I've watched him shoot. I've watched him in the gym, going out to the three-point line. Not that you want him standing out there and shooting threes, but you want that threat. You want the teams to play him honestly, and so every once in a while he's going to have to knock that down. Yet at the same time, you have a big guy that's really confident right now.
Mm-hmm.
You throw him the ball down there, he's going to get you a bucket. So there are times when teams may go small that you're just going to jam it down their throat. And I thought the Raptors kind of came to that in the playoffs. They said, you know what, this guy's arrived. You know, we can give him the ball. If things aren't going right, we just dump it down, and he's going to get us something. And there's a lot to be said for that. And he also defensively did a much better job playing angles, being disruptive, being a big body, changing shots. You know, I think it's important to remember, you don't just have to block shots to be a factor defensively. You can change shots. People can be looking for you. You know, that is a big part of things defensively. And I think he's getting quicker and understanding how to deal with pick and rolls away from the basket. And also the Raptors did a few things defensively that didn't force him to get pulled out too much. But and then, as Masai said, then you find some guys that, you know, you may find maybe looking for a stretch four as opposed to a Biombo that is pretty much all defense. You're going to look for a stretch four that can shoot the basketball, complement Jonas Valanciunas, maybe get out and defend on the perimeter a little bit more. I think you'll look for a backup five.
Mm-hmm.
That is more active, maybe more mobile for those situations. You know, there's a lot of different ways to complement. And I think also, you know, one of the things that, you know, if it was my team, I'd be looking for shooters.
Right.
You know, you look at Cleveland, look at the way they were able to space the floor and give everybody room. And if you help out on anybody, they just knock them down. Having shooters in today's game is a priority. That'll help DeMar. That'll help Kyle. That'll help Valanciunas. That'll help everybody on the floor if you got a couple of knockdown shooters. So, you know, there's definitely a ways to work around it. But and you got to remember something about Valanciunas' contract. If after what he showed at the end of the year and in the playoffs, he was negotiating now,
mm-hmm.
he'd be looking at $30, $40 million more than he signed for. So that was a great move on Masai's part to get that done. and have his big man locked down at what is now a discount rate.
It's interesting that you talk about shooters, because I think one of the things we saw in that series against Cleveland, and we focused on Kevin Love and LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, but there were a lot of players making open threes, you know, guys who were the fourth, fifth, sixth player on that team making open threes, and you didn't necessarily see Raptors players knocking those threes down. And that gets to your point. You've almost at this stage got to have three guys who can come off the bench and hit a three, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, what you need is shooters at all your spots. You know, you need a guy coming in at the two. You need a backup for Damari Carroll. I mean, now, Damari Carroll, we didn't see the best of him. He can shoot the basketball. He shot threes well for Atlanta. Really never, you know, he had spurts, but you know, we haven't seen the good Damari Carroll yet because of all the injuries he had. But, you know, here's a guy that's going to add the three-pointer to your team next year. And at the same time, if you can get a backup for him, that can defend and stretch the defense, knock down some threes, as I said, a stretch four. If you could have different guys at different spots that come in that can knock those shots down like Cleveland does, like Golden State does, you know, like Oklahoma City does, it makes the game a lot easier in today's game. And it does allow Damar, Kyle, and Jonas to play to their strengths. You know, DeMar wants to get in the paint. Kyle, if he can beat and drive as well as shoot the jump shot, that's great for him. If he can drive and dish and have people that'll make shots, that's great. And for Jonas Valanciunas, the more room he has, the easier it's going to be. So shooters create all that. But I'll tell you one thing. If you know Masai, one of the adjustments they made from last year to this year was finding as close as possible to getting two-way players, mm-hmm. guys that will help you at both ends. And you don't want anybody that's a liability on offense just because you can make shots. And that, I'm sure, is going to be part of the criteria for anybody they do find, even shooters.
We just have 90 seconds left. I want to talk about the NBA final, the Golden State Warriors surviving and moving on to face the Cleveland Cavaliers. Is it going to help Golden State, do you think, that they had to fight for seven games to get there? It certainly seemed to help Steph Curry, because he certainly seemed to be back to the old Steph Curry last night.
Hey, you know, the one thing I love about Golden State, when their back's against the wall, even during a regular season, when you did push them, that's when they played their best ball. We saw that now. But I'm anxious to watch this series, because last year I thought if LeBron just had a little bit of help, they could have beaten them. They lost 4-2, should have been 4-3. So now they got an opportunity with, you know, again, LeBron's resting. Mm-hmm. Three rests between series. He's healthy. He's strong. They're playing well. I think it's going to be a great series, and let's see if LeBron can get his revenge now.